Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Welcome to Studio G.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio. And I am so excited about our guest this morning. We have the world famous one and only Patsy Claremont. And you may have heard of her from her Women of Faith fame. She's been an author. I counted, Patsy, you've written 25 books, and in the last 14 years, you have reached over 4 million people in person, on the stage, and yet you maintain a real human touch with your audience, and I'm one of your adoring fans. So, Patsy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be on. Thank you for the invitation. And we have a mutual thing going on because I'm a great fan of yours, Laurie Beth.
Well, just for our audience, Patsy and I met through Women of Faith. I was a speaker there for a leadership series that they did, and then we were on a cruise together. And then I got to meet in one of the Dallas compound homes that many of the speakers have, and we had some real quality time together. And I wanted to talk just a moment about humor and genius. You know, they did a study on the great innovative thinkers of our time, people who came up with ideas that, one, made them a lot of money, but, two, really helped society. And they found that they had three things in common. One of them was their ability to tolerate clutter. And the other thing, I can only remember two of the three, but the other thing they all had in common was a great sense of humor. And when they analyzed that, they said that humor is really a form of genius because you have to see, it's like bifocal lenses. You see the reality of the situation, but you also rise above it and see the layer of humor in everything. And Patsy has been given this gift, and she has shared it with us. So, Patsy, how do you stay so funny?
Well, first let me say, I never heard genius and humor put together. I'm so excited I can hardly stand myself. Well, I'll tell you what keeps me laughing is my husband. He is just almost ridiculous. He is so funny. I think it's important that we put humor around us, people who tickle our funny bone, who have that tilt on life that help them see some of the things that we take far too seriously, like ourselves.
Well, I think it's one of the great challenges for Christians in general. You know, sometimes we get so serious about eternity and issues of sin and righteousness and salvation and all these things that we forget to laugh. And I think that Jesus laughed a lot. And I think that's one of the reasons why people flock to him. He must have had just a kick of a sense of humor.
There is nothing that I find more attractive than joy burbling up out of a person. It's like a well in the desert. You can hardly wait to get there and take a drink.
Well, in our pre-show, we were sharing that you have made a major move from your hometown and home birthplace, really, of Michigan to Tennessee. And we were talking about the fact that you have many social connections there and an article that I recently read in the New York Times that the new wealth they're discovering, what really keeps people happy and makes people happy is not money, but it's social connections. And you said that you just had a great story to tell, so let's hear it.
Well, on moving day, there was only my husband and I and two friends from Michigan to unload a 26-foot U-Haul truck. And I'll tell you what, my husband has disabilities, and I am just disabled sometimes by being overwhelmed. And I was overwhelmed that morning. I thought, oh, my goodness, it's going to take us days to get this truck unloaded. And then my friend said to me, Patsy, there's a couple of men in your living room looking for you. And I said, really? I went in there. I said, who are you guys? And they said, we came to help unload the truck. I said, well, how do you know I have a truck, besides the fact it was blocking the street? And he said, well, I heard it on our church Twitter. Well, a few minutes later, there were two more guys, and then some lady walked in my house and up the stairs with a box. I said, hey, who are you? And she said, gave me her name, and I said, how did you know about this? She said, I heard about it from my friend Lisa Harper. And I said, Lisa Harper's here? She said, she's pulling up. And I looked out the door, and here came Mandisa, Nicole C. Mullen, her husband. It looked like I was about to have a concert, for heaven's sake. All of Nicole C. Mullen's dancers came bebopping in the door. And the next thing you know, in 2.5 hours, the whole truck was unloaded. Now, that's community, honey.
That is community. I'm so jealous. I would love to have been there. And I could have helped, you know, with one or two boxes, but I think mostly I would have just been cracking up and observing. What a gathering of talent, and what a tribute to you, Patsy, that people want to be around you.
Well, I felt so blessed and so relieved. All I had to do was stand at the door and say, upstairs to the back of the house, the room in the middle, you know, and they just took things there. I loved it.
You know, one of the things that is so amazing about you, Patsy, is your history of being an overcomer, and that you at one time suffered from agoraphobia, which is the fear of leaving your home, and now you've traveled. How many miles do you have just on airlines? I can't even imagine. And you speak in front of stadiums full of women. How did you overcome that fear?
Well, it was not easy and not simple, but it started with one morning when I felt that some words had risen up inside of me, and the words were this, make your bed. I said, make my bed? I want to do great things for you, God. I don't want to make my bed. And that's where he started me. I wasn't functioning well, and I got out of the bed. I made it. And for me, it became a boundary. It became hope. It became, you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to stay here. But I didn't dream then, when I got up to make my bed, that the path would lead up onto a platform where I would have the amazing privilege of lifting up the sweet name of Jesus and giving hope to others who feel imprisoned by their emotions.
Mm, I love that. I love that. Now, another thing that is stunning to anyone who knows you, and me especially as a writer, to write 25 books, and you've been speaking for 14 years, and I do the quick math, and that is more than one book a year. How do you manage the time being on the road, traveling, and writing books? What's the secret for you?
I wish there was a secret and I could tell it to the world. I panic every time. Great woman of faith here. I think, oh, for heaven's sakes, I'll never get this done. And then I just begin to purpose and place my mind in discipline and use available moments creatively. So I might be writing in the airport, I might be writing at a hotel, I might be writing in the refuge of my home office or on the front porch. You could be talking to me and I might be writing, which is why I glaze over at times. So if you don't purpose to get it done, it's not going to happen.
You know, that's just good sound advice. And if I may tell just a little story on you with Mary Graham. We were sitting there one day, and she was sharing that the fear still overcomes you before you go on stage, and I feel that too. I get the butterflies, and I feel like I want to run right before I go on stage. And so she shared that right before you go on, you'll say, well, Mary, I can't do this. And she'll say, okay, Patsy. And you'll say, I'm going to leave now. And she'll say, okay, Beth. And then you'll say, all right, the car is waiting, and I'm heading out the exit. And she'll say, okay, okay. And then she'll go on stage, and she'll say, and here is Patsy Claremont. And you bound up the stage, and then you just wow everybody.
Well, it's an exciting opportunity that I have to leap up onto the platform. But honestly, I do get butterflies. I have learned that that energy keeps us sharp, that it is not necessarily all fear-driven, but it is that adrenaline that rises up and gets your mind so that it's very alert so you can accomplish a task and pray that God's hand of blessing will be on it.
Oh, that is great. Now, I'm going to ask Patsy to tell my favorite story that she has, but before I do, in case we run out of time, I really urge you to go to her website, patsyclairmont.com, PatsyClairmont.com, patsyclairmont.com. She is one of the geniuses of our time. She will tickle your funny bone and grab your heart and squeeze the joy out of it. And just have you falling at the feet of Jesus in awe, her ability with words. So, Patsy, you know that my favorite story is about the duvet, and we have about 5 minutes. Do you have time to share that story with our listeners?
Well, it all started with breakfast. I needed to toast my rice cakes. Now, I didn't know you're not supposed to do that, so I dropped them in the toaster, and I thought, this is a great time to go in and make my bed. And making my bed is no easy matter. I'm 5 feet, and I think it's 6 feet tall, but I have steps that run up to it, and if I get a good running start from the kitchen, hit those steps just right, I can pounce right on top of that bed standing up. And the reason I need to be standing up on the bed is because of the duvet cover. For some reason, the comforter wants to creep down in one big knot in the corner, and I have to go shake it out. So I'm up there jumping up and down trying to shake that thing around when I realize that it's not going to move where I need it to be, and I have to get down on all fours and climb in. Now, that really worked well for me, being my size. I could get right down in the corner where it was and try to make my way back out, which ended up not being as simple as I thought. And then I got caught by my husband. The last thing I wanted was for him to see me stuck inside the duvet cover because I knew I'd never hear the end of it. Well, I finally did get out. I did get the cover up there. But then I smelled something, and guess what it was? The rice cakes were on fire. So now I had a whole other dilemma of running around the kitchen with a toaster on fire. I tell you, I just moved into a historical home. I have labeled it hysterical because I live there. It is a wonder. My husband and I just celebrated 48 years of marriage, and he's still sane.
Oh, Patsy, I just love you so much. And I just picture you in that duvet. I cannot go into a Bed Bath & Beyond without picturing you in the duvet. Well, we have 90 seconds, and I just want to share quickly a story. In my family, my father, when we would gather around the kitchen table, he would ask us, what is the funniest thing that happened to you today? And it became a mindset that we would look for humor in whatever was happening so that we could share it at the kitchen table. And I often think that heaven might be like that, that God and the angels are going to be sitting around saying, what is the funniest thing that happened to you today? So, Patsy, could you give us our closing words and maybe a prayer for humor? We have about 50 seconds left.
I would say in the precious name of Jesus, may our hearts become so light because of the fullness of his joy that we cannot help but share that with others. Give us an eye, Lord, to see things with a wider vision and to find the humor that is in so much of life. And thank you that you designed us for laughter, that we didn't make that up. It's a natural response to joy. So we thank you for that. And I encourage you, my friends, look for the fun. It is all part of helping us survive a very difficult world.
Indeed, and like my little Bichon, he gets a Bichon buzz every day. Suddenly it just comes over him and he has to do helicopters around me. And I would feel the same way if I were in your presence, Patsy Claremont. PatsyClaremont.com, PatsyClaremont.com, one of the geniuses in Christianity today. Thank you so much, Patsy, and enjoy your new hysterical home.
Your goodness overwhelms me. Thank you.
Blessings to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.